Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. In a few moments, Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks and Florida State. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. We go to the NBA.
Ariza to Harden. Crab doesn't get him. Harden pass midcourt. Swings it to Brewer. A running three. He hit it. Corey Brewer hit it. He's tied the game at 99 with 9/10 of a second to go. Timeout, Portland.
That's our play-by-play call of the day. The first game for the Rockets without Kevin McHale as their head coach. And they were able to get that thing in overtime last night. And James Harden took the game over in the win over Portland last night. All right. It's one of the real legends in play-by-play as far as I'm concerned. Kevin Herr. Kevin, great to have you with us.
Wonderful to be here.
Now, if we're not going to talk to Kevin, then we'll go to Gene Deckerhoff. You try to be judicious in the use of outstanding. You try to be judicious in the use of the word legendary. But outstanding and legendary do fit Gene Deckerhoff, the play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27 seasons, 37th season as the play-by-play voice of Florida State football and men's basketball. Gene, I've been looking forward to this for a while. Thanks so much. It's great to have you with us.
In November when, you sort of remember games that are played in November. I've been to State College, Pennsylvania since 1988.
Basketball game that your team won here in Rec Hall. You and I each did that game.
Yeah, do you have a new arena now since then?
You sure do.
I was going to say that one was just about worn out, I believe. Did I have to look around a post or something like that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad you have a new arena.
Yeah. And I did a game down at Leon County at your place.
So I've done. I think it was a home and home contract, a two game deal.
Yep. And then the last time we saw each other was at that Orange Bowl, which is still going on.
Yeah, that classic three overtime thing.
Exactly.
that was a great ball game. You know, Bobby had problems. Bobby had problems his entire career at West Virginia and at Florida State, beating Penn State. We got Penn State at the Blockbuster Bowl.
Yep.
And I don't think I've ever seen Coach Bowden as happy as he was after that Blockbuster Bowl.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah. We'll get to those two guys in a moment. I want to ask you first about Tampa Bay. They're going to play the Eagles this week. You obviously had Jameis when you did Florida State. Yeah. Now you have Jameis with Tampa Bay. Where has he matured as a quarterback in a brief period of time in the NFL?
Well, before he turns 22, he's going to have accomplished something that no other Buccaneer quarterback has ever done in his rookie year. He's already done it 7 200-yard games and working on his eighth. And he had a couple of picks last week. But I'll tell you this, and I record pregame shows and daily shows with Coach Jimbo Fisher every Wednesday. And Jameis talks to Jimbo every week, sometimes 2-3 times. And Jimbo had a chance to catch some of the highlights. He says, hey, don't blame those two interceptions on Jameis. He says, here's what they do. And he draws the X's. He says, that receiver's got to cut this route and do this route. He says Jameis put it where he should have paid. But anyway, I digress. You know, Jimbo's going to defend his Heisman Trophy quarterback. I don't blame him. I do too. But no, he's learning week to week, does not seem to make the same mistakes. And again, quarterbacks get the blame for picks, and he's got 9 of them, so you can't take those off the record. But no, he scored 3 rushing touchdowns. I'll tell you about why his teammates rally around this guy, and he's been told by the coaches, don't ever do this again. In the overtime game against Atlanta, it was in the fourth quarter, the Buccaneers needed a score, and he hands the ball off, and there was a little juggle in the handoff. You're down at the goal line. Jameis ended up getting the key block to spring his running back for the touchdown that eventually was proved to be the winning touchdown, because they extended it to overtime. We won in overtime. But that's the reason why these – you're talking about grizzled veterans, 12, 14-year guys that play football. football of the National Football League. They have shown that they will follow Jameis Winston wherever he will lead them. He's a tremendous leader. He demonstrated that at Florida State.
Yep.
He's doing it now before his 22nd birthday in a Buccaneer uniform. I can't tell you how proud I am of how he plays football. I know Jimbo is.
Yeah, what did it mean just to the organization? I don't care if Tony Romo played or not. The way they won the Dallas game.
Well, number one, you got to say that the defense won that football game. We held Dallas to 6 points, you know, 2 field goals, an incredible accomplishment when you think about it. They had to get a touchdown to beat us at the end, and the Buccaneers, you know, scored the winning touchdown on that last drive with less than a minute to go in the game. So here's a rookie quarterback that has won 2 games now on fourth quarter or overtime drives, and those are the things that quarterbacks build their resume on in the National Football League, as you know. And so, and 2 of the 4 victories. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have had to come from behind in the fourth quarter or win in overtime. And Jameis has been the starting quarterback in those games. So I think it's just, again, back to his progress as a quarterback, he continues to learn. Jimbo Fisher referred to him his freshman year, his redshirt freshman year, the year he won the Heisman Trophy. He is a football junkie. He is a sponge. He absorbs everything that he is taught to do. And he very seldom will make the same mistake twice. If you continue to do that, you're going to have a career like the great ones that are in the game right now, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning. I wouldn't put him in that level right now, but if he continues to improve the way he is, he'll be right up there with those guys. I'm convinced of it.
Gene, he gets a little Penn State protection up front because Donovan Smith was selected in the second round. How has he progressed? Because obviously that's going to be a tough position to make progress at, but how well has he progressed considering he's had to start?
Well, let me say this. His very first snap in an NFL game was preseason game. We're in Minnesota playing on the road. An all-pro defensive end absolutely blows right by him and sacks our quarterback. Jameis was sacked immediately. And that was his first snap in an NFL game. He's improved tremendously since then. Since then. Welcome to the NFL. In fact, that's what we saw on the broadcast. But, no, Donovan Smith, he's an every Sunday starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that tells you a lot.
How underappreciated nationally is Gerald McCoy?
Nationally, I think he's appreciated because, number one, he goes to the Pro Bowl, and you got to get votes to go to the Pro Bowl, okay?
Yeah.
He's a 3-time Pro Bowler on a losing team, no less. But he is the leader of the defense, the most disruptive player on our defense, and a guy that other teams have to figure out how to – they got to chip him, they got to double-team him, they got to figure out and remember this. Well, you may not know it. I'll guarantee you Coach Kelly knows this and his team. Gerald McCoy has a bum shoulder. He's limited in practice every week. He's been on the injury list every week since game two.
Right.
But he's a gamer. He whatever it takes to get on that field, he does. And quite a character too on his radio show. He does a 1-hour total access show, they call it, with the great Geraldini 93. That's his handle. But does a tremendous job on his radio show. He's a family man. Has some young twins. I guess they must be like 3 years old now. Two going on three, or 3 going on 4. I lose track. But tremendous family man, very spiritual man, and fun to listen to on the radio. But when he puts that helmet on, he's all business. And I think sometimes we take him for granted because he plays a position that's not maybe the spectacular position. If he was a defensive end, he'd probably have twice as many or 3 times as many sacks. He's a defensive tackle, and he plays that position as well as anybody in a Buccaneer uniform since Warren Sapp.
Wow.
Warren Sapp had a tremendous career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He sure did.
Hall of Fame career.
Gene, to Florida State now, they've got Chattanooga. Yeah. They step outside the ACC, they got Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette owned this Heisman Trophy deal for about 6 weeks. Now it's all changed. Dalvin Cook is averaging over 8 yards a carry, 14 touchdowns. How serious a consideration should he get, in your opinion, for a vote?
Well, I have a vote. I'm not supposed to say who I'm voting for, but I'll tell you what, he'll be in the mix. I'll promise you that. Here's Dalvin Cook. Now, I don't know Leonard Fournette, Henry at Alabama. There's some really good running backs, okay? But how many of them missed an entire game with a hamstring injury? He did not play. He played two snaps in the Wake Forest game. And he ripped off a 94-yard touchdown on his second carry, and that's when he had the hamstring issue and was unable to play the rest of the game. So he has two snaps, goes 94 yards, scores a touchdown. If he would stay in that ball game, now Wake Forest, people say, Wake Forest, big deal, you know, but they're a pretty good defensive team now. Yeah. And they shut down Florida State when Dalvin Cook went to the sideline. We didn't get a whole lot of scoring in that ball game after Dalvin went down. But he's the real deal. I have never seen a running back that can run at full speed, of his size, that can run at full speed and change direction. The touchdown he had last weekend against North Carolina State, he cut it to the left. It was a near fumble on the handoff exchange. Quarterback sort of, I think he was tripped by a guard that was pulling us up, but almost fell down, hands the ball off, and sort of flips it to Dalvin. He runs left, got one block, made two guys miss, then cut back against the grain, made another guy miss. And I think he brought, the coach said he broke like five tackles. You watch some of these other running backs, they don't break tackles the way Dalvin could. There's somebody that keeps stats on these things, yards after contact, and I know they do it for the NFL.
Right.
And somebody does that for the college rank, and I wouldn't want to say that this is fact, but I heard it or read it somewhere, that yards after contact, he may lead the nation in that. But he's very tough to bring down, and he's very, very fast.
Jimbo Fisher has done an incredible job at Florida State. What is something that you know about him that the rest of us should know about him? Because at times he is misunderstood.
aren't all head coaches?
Yeah, they're all misunderstood.
You're as good as your record, and you better win next week if you lost last week. No. Yeah. Let me tell you a couple of things I'll tell you about Jimbo Fisher. Never, ever get in a sports trivia contest with Jimbo Fisher, and it's not just football. Major League Baseball, college basketball. He has an amazing memory for things involving sports. And one day we're recording a pregame show, and we're talking about the overlap of basketball. It was last year, basketball season, and I've talked, you know, I mentioned something about Florida State had beaten Louisville. Louisville was coming into the conference last year. That was their first year in the league. And he said, yeah, Louisville, they won two, I think he said three Final Fours. He said, remember the MVP of the Final Four they won? And he named the city where it was played. I couldn't tell you where it was. And he says, you know who the MVP was now? I said, well, who, coach? Purvis Ellis. And I remember, never Nervous Purvis. Yeah. But, I mean, uncanny memory for things involving sports. And as a student of Florida State football, he amazes me with his knowledge. He'll say, you know why you lost that game to Miami in 1987? He said, I'll tell you why. So-and-so missed a block, and the quarterback was under pressure, and the tight end ran the route he was supposed to run, you know, but you'd have beat the Miami. Now, I can't remember the final score of the game. And Jimbo can tell you. And the reason why is that his entire college career, he either worked for or played for, with one exception, obviously. He coached with Nick Saban at LSU. But early in his career, he played for Terry Bowden at Samford. He got his first coaching job from Terry Bowden, went to Auburn with Terry Bowden. He was a Florida. He worked every Bowden family camp, Tommy, Terry, and Bobby, in his development as a head coach. And he can tell you why we won, why we lost, and whether it was wide right or wide left. And it's just an incredible marriage between head coach Jimbo Fisher and the Florida State Seminoles. It's almost like he played football at Florida State. He's that knowledgeable and that much a student of the history of this great program.
And a significant part of the history of the great program.
Yeah, and don't ever get into trivia, Steve. Never get into trivia. And he also is pretty good at music trivia, too.
Oh, jeez. Great.
Now, how he does that, and Steve, you do play-by-play. I do play-by-play.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did Joe Pye ever take your depth chart out and look at the players, and all of a sudden the second team offensive tackle on the right side point out to you that, by the way, he's about 40 pounds bigger than what you have him here? Did Joe Pye ever tell you that?
Joe never told me that.
Okay. I've never had a coach in my career, football, basketball, or baseball, look at my depth charts, look at my little cheat sheets, the laminate that I have, and say, Gene, you better circle this guy because he's their best player. You got him second team. I've never had a coach do that. And he looks, he not just looks at it, you know, just to look at it and then toss it back to you. He looks at it and sees everything you got on there. And he does it within you know, 34. Gene, this guy was hurt and didn't play, but he's their best player. He's going to play against us. And I've never had a coach tell me that. that. And look at it with the scrutiny. One of the student assistants, the guys that never get any recognition, but they sit in those rooms and look at video and dissect video and do stats and all that sort of stuff. I was walking into the office to record Jimbo's show once, and I threw out a number or something like that. That's an incredible number. I forget what it was. And I said, I believe that's right. And the student assistant said, well, if it's not right, Mr. Numbers is going to let you know. That's how thorough. Now, another thing you want to know, Jimbo Fisher. Bobby Bowden was head coach for 34 years. I did his television show for 30 of those 34 years. We always did it early in the morning on Sunday morning until I had the opportunity to do National Football League games on Sundays, and I had to get coach's permission. He wanted to know, oh, Genie, why do you need to I think it's great you can do our games in the Bucks. Why do you need to get my permission? I said, because, Coach, we may have to do your television show at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. We get back from a road trip so I can get to Tampa or get on an airplane and find out where the Bucks are playing. There's not another coach in America that would have said, Gene, I think it's great. You just keep me awake during the commercials. We'll do that TV show anytime you want to. Now, that's the way we did it when Coach Bowden was the head coach. Right. Jimbo wanted, this is the way, and I could not do the show, but Jimbo wants to, one, look at the video. Two, have his staff meeting, get the injury report before he even sits down to look at the highlights and do the TV. He records his TV show at 5:30 after he's gone through staff meetings, player meetings, and has looked at the video. That's how thorough he is on his television show. Wow. And on the call-in show on Wednesday night, Steve, I learned something new about football every single Wednesday.
Wow.
He's a great teacher of the game of football.
Hey, that's a real standard where you can do something like that. Gene, it's great to have you on, and I'm not quite done yet, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to hold you over into the next half hour, and we appreciate you doing that. Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks and Florida State football. We'll have more with him after the news at the bottom of the hour. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When is the right time to start talking about the holidays?
It's now.
Because the holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can't wait any longer to get into full holiday mode. And you'll feel the same with Kia's Holidays on Us sales event.
No payments until April.
You heard right. April. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months. A 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Fortes, Sportages, and Souls. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So you can afford that Thanksgiving feast, overspend on presents for the family, and still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible pricing. You'll get low payments and not even have to make one until April. The holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
We'll have a few minutes here at the bottom of the hour. So what I'm going to do is we're going to hold Gene Deckerhoff over because I don't think the stories are over. And it's been an incredibly entertaining half hour with him, and I'm going to extend it into part of the next half hour with him. And I didn't want to cut him off and keep it short, so we're going to get Gene back on the line. And he said, hey, Steve, I got plenty of time. I said, okay, good. I'm glad you do, because the stories have been incredible. He's got some great stuff. You know, Gene has a great memory. He was telling me about some great Jersey Shore Shikellamy games that he remembers, you know, listening to on the stream. No?
The scoreless game that went into overtime? Is that the one he's talking about?
Only a magician could make that sound good.
I don't know. It sounded all right from what I remember, but that was a few years ago.
I did a 6-4 game once.
That's right, 6-4.
6-4.
Doubled off the wall in the second to score two.
Scored all the runs with two outs. All right. So, yeah, look, we all have those moments, those games. Well, Yeah, we've all had that. And, you know, and Gene, to his credit, he has broadcast winning national championships, and he's broadcast a winning Super Bowl. So that's quite a life and quite a career when you get to do that. But we'll bring him back on for the final half hour of the show as well. Tomorrow, Jack Ham will join us. Jim Brandstetter, the play-by-play voice of Michigan football. John Bacon, the great Michigan historian and college football historian, is going to join us tomorrow. And Craig Meyer, who is the beat writer for Duquesne basketball for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He will join us tomorrow because Penn State will play Duquesne tomorrow night in Game 3 of the season for both teams. And let's face it, the biggest challenge to me is actually just getting into the city. I mean, the typical drive to get me there is about, I don't know, 215, 220 to 2.5, all right, 2.5 with traffic. But they're doing this light-up festival tomorrow in Pittsburgh, which has received more publicity on this show than they ever dreamed they would get.
It's gotten a lot of big PR in this program.
All right.
I want to go see it right now.
I don't.
Well, it sounds like the only chance of you seeing it is from your car.
Well, no, I may see it because I'm crawling along the highway in my car.
That's my point, yes.
That's what I'm concerned about. How long does it take to go from the Squirrel Hill Tunnel to the Boulevard of the Allies? It'll be all good. We kid about it. We have some fun with it. Bottom of the hour.
No, I was going to say, Steve, my suggestion is go to Mount Washington, come down the incline. That might be your best way into the city. It's a great view.
There are moments where you're depressing. This could be one of them.
Great view.
I'm in a car.
Well, there's places to park up there.
My car. Remember, I have to leave and come back here.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Back with Gene Dekeroff in just a moment. But first, our bozo of the day. And it's multiple. It's the Seattle Seahawks coaching staff. They're blaming quarterback Russell Wilson for a series of plays, and they're upfront and open about it. Really? Yes, he completed 44% of his passes for 240 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, who, by the way, called a beautiful play in the Super Bowl, said, "We had a full progression kind of across the board for that one. We had a chance for Lockett, and we had a chance for a couple of other guys. He made the wrong choice." Also blamed, put the blame squarely on Wilson for the two-point conversion miss. Good luck on that one. Didn't get it done. Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, squarely puts the blame on Wilson for two sacks in the game. Oh, by the way, Wilson's been sacked 33 times this year. And he says it's Wilson's fault that he got sacked in the game against Arizona. You're a team, all right? You just rally around people. You don't do this. You don't do this. You don't do the every man for yourself and start looking at other parts of the football team and say, don't look at us. That's dude's fault. My goodness. Imagine what this show would be like if I blamed Kevin.
He did it.
You can listen to the show. You can blame him for yourself. Couldn't resist. You okay?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Well, don't brag. All right, let's bring back in Gene Dekeroff, the legendary play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks, also Florida State football and men's basketball. And Gene will be in Philadelphia Sunday for the 1 o'clock game between the Eagles and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Gene, I obviously had an opportunity to chronicle history here at Penn State with Joe Paterno. You had an opportunity to chronicle history with Bobby Bowden. How is Coach Bowden doing today?
Well, it's amazing. There's a movie company, and it's going to be in theaters, but I spent almost 3 hours in my little office at my home, Tuesday, with this company. They came in with the big camera equipment, the lights and all that sort of stuff, and they're doing a movie, a documentary movie on the coaching life of Robert Bowden, and I can't wait to see the movie, but we're close. I really feel bad when a couple of months go by and you don't have a chance to talk to the coach. He lives about 2 miles from where I live. I don't go that direction, but I need to. And he travels an awful lot. He turned 86 years old 2 weeks ago, November the 8th. 86 years old. He still gets on airplanes, flies all over the country. Sometimes it's a corporate, for-fee things, but he spends an awful lot of time. He once told me, he says, Gene, I like saving souls more than I do making money. And he spends an awful lot of time saving souls for Fellowship of Christian Athletes all over the country. So he continues his ministry off the field as he did when he was the head coach at Florida State. I have to say, I've never met a person quite like Bobby Bowden, and I've had the distinct privilege to work with Bobby. I didn't do all the radio. I started in 79. He became the head coach in 76. But I also worked with Tony Dungy when he built the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into a Super Bowl contender. So I've worked with two of the best, I think, that have ever coached the game of football at two different levels, college and pro. And I have never met two people that are so similar in the way they handle the coaching profession, and two just tremendously great human beings. I love both of them.
Yeah, I can tell. One final question, Gene, then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
You talked about doing Tampa Bay and about doing Florida State, which includes basketball.
Yeah.
What's the closest call you ever had at trying to turn from one to the other?
Well, this is year 37 Seminoles and year 27 Tampa Bay. So for the last 27 years, weekends have been real busy. I'm glad we have better weather down here than you have in State College
this time
of the year.
Yes,
I don't know what the weather's like today, but it's raining here in Tallahassee, but we're not going to have snow. But my home games for the Buccaneers is 4 hours and 35 minutes south of where I live.
Yeah.
And we leave, my wife and I, we leave at 6:05 a.m. We arrive at 10:40 at Raymond James Stadium, and I go up to the press box, do the scene setter at noon, and my wife is retired now 4 years, and before she retired, we would drive home at the end of the game and get home about 10:30 that night and do it the next night. As close as I've come, I did miss one half of NFL football, and I'm knocking on wood. How's the weather going to be Sunday? Because I got a 5:45 flight Sunday morning.
You're good.
Good. I saw that front coming through the country, and I said, that should clear out. We're going to have great weather for a football game Saturday in Tallahassee. 3:15 wake-up call, 5:45 flight, arrive Philadelphia, I should say, at 10, I think it's 10:49. They've got a car that will get me to the stadium with enough time to do the scene setter and the pregame responsibilities, do the game, and then my plane leaves Philadelphia Airport at I think 7:20, and I arrived back in Tallahassee at midnight Sunday night. So, but as close as I've come, I missed a half of football in Washington, D.C. The Seminoles played a night game. I got to the airport in plenty of time, and it's never a good sign, Steve, when you look out and you see the plane you're supposed to fly on at 7 a.m. to get you to BWI so you can get a car down to FedEx Field and do the Redskins-Bucks game. It's never a good sign when you see a ladder under the plane and a mechanic working on that
thing. Got that right.
So I jumped on a Delta flight, got the last ticket on a Delta, and they sat on the tarmac at Atlanta. To get to heaven from Tallahassee, Steve, you have to go through Atlanta.
That's right.
To go anywhere on an airplane, you have to go through Atlanta, with the exception of America. Now you go through Charlotte. That's how I get home Sunday. But so I switched. So we sat on the tarmac, and when I got to the gate to get that flight, it was closed. And I pounded on the door, and the fellow with the red jacket opened the door and said, "Sorry, you're going to see customer service. This flight's closed." And I missed the flight, so I got the next flight. Got there at halftime. And that's the only knock on wood football I've had. Florida State, I asked for and was granted permission to leave at halftime of a Florida State-Maryland game. We better win that ball game. We did. I turned it over to our sideline announcer, Tom Block, who also fills in for me on basketball. And Tom did the second half. I got a little jet that flew me from Atlanta, from Tallahassee to Atlanta, caught a Delta flight to London, arrived in London at 8:45 London time. A car took me to Wembley Stadium, and at 1 o'clock Wembley time, I broadcast the Bucks versus the Chicago Bears, and then went to the hotel that night, got on a plane, flew back home with the team on the next morning. But wow. Green Bay, Wisconsin was always tough. Two planes canceled, one because of equipment, one because of weather out of wow. Chicago. I walked into the press box 1 minute before kickoff. Whoa. And that's as close as it came to miss until the game in Washington D.C. But it's been an adventure. It's been a great time. I've broadcast 400 and let's see the last time 453. Florida State games, and because the Bucks play preseason games and more games a year, 530. We played, 9 plus 4? We played 13. 553 Bucks games. Wow. It's been a good ride, and hopefully, I say the prayers every night. I'll keep doing this for a few more years, too,
I hope so, too.
You know how it is, Steve. We love what we do. If we didn't love what we do, we wouldn't do it.
That's exactly right. And one thing about SiriusXM is we now get the chance to hear everybody with tremendous.
I love that. I listen to play-by-play baseball, particularly college, play-by-play basketball, almost exclusively college, and then I'll listen to pro NFL and college football games. But it's a great treat. It's a delight to be able to. The technology is amazing.
Yeah.
I do a walk every morning, Steve, and I'm talking too long. You got other stuff to talk about, then, sure. But I do a walk. It's a mile and a half, and I try to do it every evening. Try to get 3 to 5 miles every day. And I listen to on my iPhone. The recorded shows that the Buccaneers do every week. It's the head coach, Lovie Smith, does a Total Access show at 5 o'clock every Monday. I listen to that. That's the first thing I listen to. Gerald McCoy, I mentioned, he has a show. They have a different. Connor Barth did a one of the Total Access. He was every week. They have different players. Levante David, listen. But you keep, and I'm listening on a phone through an app called Buccaneers, the Buccaneers Game Day app.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. I don't know how do we do this when
I know
how do we do this before computers,
I know. I'm completely with you. I say that to myself all the time.
But then you do know too, Steve, that as a result, fans always want to know everything they can know, and rightfully so.
Yep.
That's why we're fans. You
right.
want to know everything you can get.
Sure.
And there's so much information out there. You and I better know exactly what we're talking about. You can't fake it anymore, man.
Never. Never.
Not that we ever did, but certainly can now. You better know exactly what you're talking about.
The thought that we had of faking it is now gone. All right. Gene.
Yeah, and then every game's on television, too. You better have the right number,
Exactly right.
Yeah.
With tremendous respect for your work, my friend.
Thank you
so much for the time you gave us today.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hey, who you got this week?
Michigan.
I knew it. I thought it was. I wanted to say Michigan State. So it's Coach Harbaugh, huh? You got him at home, right?
Got him right here on Saturday.
All right.
So
I like your chances in that one, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. Heck of a football game. Looking forward to it very much.
What do you get now? About 98, 99,000? Didn't you give me a tour of the stadium? You took me out and showed me the stadium, I think.
I showed you the stadium when you came up here.
And
we went around and it was.
Yeah, we didn't go in, but I mean, you showed me that, yeah.
Yeah, it was at that point, it was in the upper 80s. Now it's at 107.
It's over 100, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Hey, with ACC Challenge, I hope you will take me through Doe Campbell. I've never been in.
Yeah.
Okay, seriously.
I will. I'll take it.
I appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Have a great week, and good luck against those Wolverines.
Hey, good luck this weekend with all your travels.
Got the Eagles, 1 o'clock game, by golly. And, Bucks are underdogs, but I like the way this team is developing. I really do.
So do I. Thanks so much, Gene.
Talk to you later.
You too. Gene Dekeroff, legendary play-by-play voice of Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Florida State football, men's basketball, and also he does Florida State baseball. Hope you enjoyed that. If you missed any of it, check out the Steve Jones Show podcast. We'll be back to wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When is the right time to start talking about the holidays?
It's now.
Because the holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can't wait any longer to get into full holiday mode. And you'll feel the same with Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. No payments until April. You heard right. April. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months. A 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Fortes, Sportages, and Souls. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So you can afford that Thanksgiving feast. Overspend on presents for the family and still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia. With 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible pricing, you'll get low payments and not even have to make one until April. The holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Memorable conversation during the break. Kevin says to me, he says, yeah, did you hear Brett Bielema?
Really? You're going to share this? Thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah, Brett Bielema was proposing that they have an SEC Big Ten challenge. I said, Kevin, that was the opening half hour of the show.
What was my comment? I said, boy, I thought it sounded familiar.
Really? I got one listener. I can't even get him to listen.
Is nothing sacred? No.
Oh, it's just brutal. Brutal. Well, I'm forcing Jack Ham to listen tomorrow. He'll be on the show. Jim Brandstetter, play-by-play voice, Michigan football, on the show. John Bacon, college football and Michigan historian, on the show. Craig Meyer, beat writer, Duquesne basketball, because Penn State plays at Duquesne tomorrow night, on the show.
So that's Did you say you have John Bacon coming up sometime soon?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Just into the abyss we go. Oh, brutal. Coquise Washington, by the way, is the leadoff coach tonight on the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin, which, yes, will feature James Franklin once we are finished talking with Coquise Washington. They actually played pretty well last night at Tennessee before finally losing in an odd game because the roof started leaking last night down at Thompson Bowling Arena. And they've also changed up, too. Four quarters now for women's basketball. We'll talk to her about that and some of the other rules, some of the players that she has as well.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what she thinks of that. I mean, high school's been doing that for a long time instead of going to two halves. I wonder how the women's game has changed because of it.
Oh, I'm sure it's changed a lot. I know I'm watching some of the game last night, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is in the second. That's right, second quarter.
Now it's still the same length, right? Each half is still the same length. They just split it.
All right, four 10-minute quarters, and I think that it's an intriguing idea.
Why does college basketball have two halves?
I don't know. I wasn't there at the formation of it.
But think about it. It's the only level that does. I just wondered why. I thought maybe there was reasoning behind it.
But remember, college basketball started before. Well, college basketball started before the NBA.
Okay,
and college basketball started before high school basketball.
That would be a good, yeah. I would assume that's interesting.
So other people haven't followed the college basketball model. That's what's
so it's
happened.
The other way around. It's not like college basketball's bucking the trend. Everyone else just doesn't follow it. I got it.
Right. I mean, that's the way it's always been in college basketball. Play two halves. They have not played four quarters. And high schools, when they came in with the four quarters, because they play, a 32-minute game?
Four eight-minute quarters, yes, at the varsity level.
Yeah. Right. And women's basketball now changed from halves to quarters this year. Okay. And, of course, the NBA has been quarters forever, except they play a 48-minute game.
JV's also 8-minute quarters, except in some leagues. And I think it's out. Actually, Steve, I think it's out your way in, I think we were out at Mifflin County where they played a 7-minute quarter JV game.
If you insist. I've never seen Mifflin County play in anything in my life. I don't think
at the I call it the Coliseum on the Hill.
The Coliseum on the Hill.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen it, it has these huge, I like to call them Greek-like columns, so it looks like the Coliseum on the Hill, and it's on the side of a hill.
Well, there you go.
At Very Mifflin nice. County High School, the Coliseum on a Hill.
There you go. That's great.
Actually, we're going to be, Chief and I are going to be headed out your direction with Shikellamy basketball for, St. Joseph's.
St. Joseph's Academy, yeah.
Yeah.
When's that going to be?
It's December. I want to say right around the break between Christmas and New Year's, but I'm not positive.
Up out of town.
Yeah, right. I didn't expect you to. it's the 30th. It's the 30th, and you are at Maryland.
At least at this minute, I am at Maryland.
Well, that's true. I mean, there could be a football situation there.
Yes, there are two possibilities. There's the Music City Bowl and there's the Holiday Bowl. They're both on the 30th. So, we can't really think about that till
another 2 weeks.
After this weekend. I think this weekend will probably determine and narrow down where Penn State might go. Obviously, you still have a week after the Michigan State game. I think this weekend will tell a lot of that. That's what I think when I look at it. And I think that it's a fun time of the year. I would like to see when Penn State plays Maryland, it's the only time they'll play Maryland in the regular season. I mean, obviously, I think I'd like to see them play once because they're one of the top five teams in the country. When you look at Mello Trimble and Jake Lehman and Suleiman, who's been added to the mix, and then Diamond, I mean, they've really got, they're loaded. They're loaded. And they have a lot, and they have guys that they bring off the bench. They have a transfer, Scott, from Georgia Tech, another good player. He sat out all of last year. After transferring from Georgia Tech. The Diamond Kid, Diamond Stone, he's got to be there a year. I can't picture him doing a long-term thing. I'll say this. There's one guy in this league that has absolutely shocked me. He is still in school playing. Because I thought at some point, just on pure height and skill level, even though at times he isn't motivated to play, A.J. Hammons is now a senior with Purdue. A lot of people thought he'd leave after his freshman year. Didn't. A lot of people thought he'd leave after his sophomore year. Didn't. Junior year. Nope. He's a four-year senior. He's a seven-foot kid who is not a seven-foot glandular case. He is 7 feet tall and has legitimate skills. You watch his footwork and so forth. His problem's always been motivation. Right? Unmotivated A.J., is easy to beat AJ. Motivated AJ is a huge problem. Evidently not motivated by lots of cash. He stayed in school. Now, maybe he got advice that he wasn't going to be a first-round pick. I don't know. But that is a player that has made it to his senior year that I'm surprised he decided to go all the way through for 4 years. Seven-footer with skills. All right. Tonight, Coquise Washington on the show. Talk a little bit about Peyton Whitted, who last night had 17 points, 16 boards. And Tania Page, who had 15 last night. Lindsey Spann had 14. And they gave Tennessee a pretty good run. They'll play Central Connecticut coming up on Sunday at the Jordan Center. We'll have her on, then James Franklin tonight to preview Michigan. So we will talk to all of you in an hour from Letterman's here in State College. For Kevin Herr, who thinks the SEC Big Ten idea is a good one,
no,
I'm Steve Jones.